You can manage risk, but that's risky too.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. It's the eve of the G20 summit in Pittsburgh, when 20 industrial nations meet to talk about rebalancing the world economy. Ahead of that meeting, the European Commission today laid out some proposals. They want to set up a systemic risk board that would act on threats to the EU economy. This is not going over so well in Europe's biggest financial center. London bankers and politicians are reluctant to give power to the European Union. Well, those kind of debates are breaking out in Washington as well. Today, the House Financial Services Committee starts 2 weeks of hearings on some highly disputed banking reform. First on the witness stand this morning, Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner. We get the story from Marketplace's Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale.
The Treasury Secretary will defend a White House plan to merge two of the four federal bank regulators. But late last week, Senator Christopher Dodd went the White House one better. He wants to consolidate all four into one super regulatory agency. Bad idea, says Ed Yingling with the American Bankers Association.
You will lose the debates you now have among bank regulators, which is valuable. It's great to have one regulator if that regulator is right, but it's terrible if it's wrong.
Banks aren't the only roadblocks. Current regulators don't want their power diminished. Baldwin Wallace College professor Kevin Jake spent 14 years at the Treasury Department.
In Washington, D.C., power and authority is a commodity. They're not going to like a consolidation of the regulatory agencies into one, because that means there's going to be agencies that win and agencies that lose.
Given all the resistance, Jakes expects only talk and no action this year. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
The Federal Reserve concludes its two-day meeting today. It's expected to leave interest rates alone and give some clues to when a rate change might come. European markets are up slightly this morning, less than 0.5%. Asian markets were mixed. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow rose 51 points to 9,829, and that is the Dow's highest close since last October. The European Union has given the all clear for a multi-billion dollar American acquisition. U.S. fund manager BlackRock will be allowed to buy a big chunk of assets from the major British bank, Barclays. The deal will turn BlackRock into a world leader. From Marketplace's Europe desk in London, Stephen Beard has more.
BlackRock agreed to buy most of Barclays' investment unit back in June. Today, the EU's Competition Commission gave its blessing, even though the new firm will be gigantic. It'll have $2.8 trillion worth of funds under its belt. That'll make it the world's biggest money manager. For BlackRock, the economies of scale should be a major boon. And, says Jeff Goldfarb of the financial website Breaking Views, there are other benefits too.
Barclays will stay in as a minority holder, and there's the opportunity for BlackRock to access some of Barclays' customers, which is a huge advantage for them as well.
BlackRock, founded only 20 years ago, has profited handsomely from the financial crisis. Barclays was under pressure to sell its investment arm to bolster its balance sheet, and BlackRock is now earning big fees managing the toxic assets of Bear Stearns and AIG. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
As I mentioned, world leaders will be talking global slowdown tomorrow when the G20 summit starts in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Now, that's a town that knows about slowdowns. For decades, Pittsburgh workers depended on the steel industry, and by the 80s, it was pretty much gone. Marketplace's Rico Galliano asked some Pittsburgh steel workers what it was like to live through those times and what advice they have for Detroit auto workers who have to live through these times.
I am Raymond Henderson. My age is 69. I used to be a steel worker.
My name is Greg Mowry, and I was a steel worker for 23 years.
What was it like when the mills closed?
It was terribly sad. To come past and see the buildings just standing was worse than having them torn down. because people kept thinking, well, it's going to come back, it's going to come back. It was very depressing to come past here every day.
I had buddies that committed suicide. There were other guys that just decided they were going to drink and do drugs. I was a different breed, I guess. It was just a process. I knew it was going to take place, and I knew I had to go out here and find a job somewhere. They had a benefit through the steel industry and the federal government that would allow you to go back to school to re-educate yourself. And it was like a two-year program. I became a social worker.
I did actually go to auto mechanics, got a degree in that, but it was too tough on my back. And there was 100,000 people in this valley that lost their jobs at the same time, so it was very difficult to find any kind of work.
Oh, as a steel worker, I was making something like $50,000, $60,000 a year. When I got a new job, it went down to about $23,000, $24,000 a year. You didn't eat steak anymore. You ate lunch meat.
What do you say to the people in Detroit who are maybe going through something similar?
The biggest factor is to network your friends. It's very difficult when industry cuts back all at the same time because there are no jobs available, so you have to rely on close friends, and that's how I got in a print shop. I worked with Mike Stott in the mill, and Mike called me and said, would I consider coming to work at the print shop? And that's what I became, the printer.
Best thing I can tell people in Detroit, use what you got. The automobile industry plants, they can build a whole new industry off of that. Building windmills up there, they should convert it over to that. They got to adapt quickly, and I think it can be done.
That piece was produced by Marketplace's Rico Galliano. And finally, those models you see on magazine covers, you know they don't look like that, right? Well, French lawmakers have proposed a law to make sure everyone knows any manipulated photo of a human, that's fashion shoots, commercial packaging, political ads, they'd have to carry a statement saying, quote, digitally enhanced to modify a person's body image. The cost of noncompliance, a $55,000 fine. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in, and have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.